Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Coming to you on a Monday morning, Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. And joining me as always, my gurus of gambling, my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we have WrestleMania weekend coming. We have NBA regular season winding down. Also winding down this NCAA tournament. Thank the heavens above. I have had enough. I am tapping out. You can't see. I'm tapping miserably on my shoulder. Brutal beats. I don't even know where to start. It's enough already, right, Bri? It's time to get hammered betting hockey playoffs and meaningless April baseball games. Let's do that.
It's so tough. I had said this before the tournament, right? It was going to probably be the wackiest tournament ever. It is.
You did.
And it's really... If you're going to try to make, like I said, you can make money if you pick a winner and you just so happen to get lucky with that. But if you go game by game, it's almost impossible to win money on these.
Impossible was a 0.000. I don't know if I'm putting enough O's in there. 0.009% to get this final four. And you know me, as a guy who rides the favorites for the most part, San Diego State and Florida Atlantic in the final four is no bueno. It's going to be good for someone, though. Someone who played our EP Mortgage Madness pool. $1,000 for the first prize. Entering Final Four weekend, Alan Scarabello, 750 points. Jim B. in second. Is that Jim Boeheim, maybe? Imagine making an earning living outside of basketball. That'd be something. He's in second. And Hot Sizzle with 690. Now, the staff competition, babyface Joel Solomon is not with us. He's at some kind of a... Where is he, Harry? It's like a 3 week long bar mitzvah / wedding in Disney World or something.
Right.
I don't know. He just says something. And I'm like, all right, I believe that. That's fine. But anyway, he's in first place. I think everybody's drawn dead at this point. Mark Gunnels from Lemon Pepper Parlay is in last place. So Babyface is going to have to figure a cap of consequence out for Gunnels. That's going to be exciting. But Harry, really, this was all about you this weekend. You did a lot of bragging before Sunday. You had Creighton in Miami in the Grade 8. And I think you tweeted like you're better than anyone in the country. You opened your mouth and then you got slammed. Creighton lost.
You know what? Yeah. I had issues with Ben Kelly. We'll get to that, I guess, later. But that's why I had to tell him that. Listen, quit
Ben Kelly. Not everybody knows Ben Kelly is a troll on Twitter, right? And you answer every time he trolls you.
He's a troll, all right.
And it is never going to end because you answer his every tweet. But
I know. I always say he's an idiot because of the stuff that he says, but I'm really the idiot that continues to go back and forth with him. But
you're not even tweeting at him. You're also DMing him. It's not like
I know
Harry's making a decision to DM him.
Right.
Too. It's
ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, I did threaten to slap him. I wanted to hurt him, Darren, because I want to slap some sense into him. He's so dumb with his text.
That's kind of what Will Smith said. Nobody ever forgave him. Yeah.
Last two pods, I was 7-1, giving out 16 picks, had hit 5 straight EP video, extra points videos.
Mm-hmm.
And
Harry, though,
he can't drill me, but still,
how are you? This guy's one of our top listeners.
Yes.
And you threatened physical violence against him? Like, what sense does that make?
But I'm trying to help him.
I mean, we know we've seen Ben Kelly. He was nice enough to come visit us in Vegas when we had our watch party in January.
He was great when he visited.
I think he'd be able to avoid a Harry slap, right? I mean, I don't know. Is he really going to get slapped?
So I still say the next time we're in Vegas, right into Jimmy Kimmel, why don't we set up a charity event?
Right.
Harry versus Ben. A boxing match.
Okay.
Boxing.
All right.
He keeps crying out, Parlay Kid. He's having you fight your fight his battles for him.
Hmm.
He's asking to fight you.
All right. Well, let's get to the games. As a matter of fact, let's just open it up right now. It's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches. Roll the music, Mikey Meatballs.
When a bet makes you sick, and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad egg. It's a bad egg. It's a bad egg.
All right, Harry, I'll let you lead off. I imagine Creighton over San Diego State is going to be your bet egg.
Yeah, look, I had them to win the national championship. I had them, obviously, to win yesterday. Lost a 14 parlay on the four games because Creighton did not win the game. Look, I don't know. I first get hosed in the Super Bowl with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And now another type of – maybe I just should stay away from birds in general. The Blue Jays, you know, I mean – again, the call is made with like whatever 1 second to go. The other three games had 30, 37, and 39 fouls called. This game between Creighton and San Diego State, it was a war. Not a lot of points scored, and there were only 22 fouls called. They call that again another situation where it comes down to the refs, and again. Nebhard, he's playing on a bump.
I feel like you've thought about this a lot. You've really consolidated your thoughts, and it's now.
That's a foul. I mean, I'm sorry, but just let it go.
Nebhard fouls Darian Trammell with what was it? 1.7 left
or 1.2?
1.2 left. It was ticky tack. He goes to the line. He misses one. He makes the second. They go up one. The inbound. Goes off. It didn't even matter who. I don't think they ever decided. And then the game was over.
Joke too. Another joke.
Well, I don't know
what's going on there.
You didn't really get screwed there, but I will say it did slow things down, and it didn't allow for San Diego State to celebrate because they had to go to the desk for 20 minutes. Go ahead.
I will say this: that it was. I was still way more upset about the Eagles than the Blue Jays because the Blue Jays couldn't really get it done 3-point wise. They were only 2 of 17 for the game. And in that first half,
whereas the Eagles were excellent in the second half, right?
They were very good. Their defense was solid.
Yeah.
But San Diego State made that when they were down 6 in the first half, a couple times, they needed Creighton get one more stop, hit another 3 and then 9. And then we know how that can escalate. Every single time San Diego State needed to answer when they were down 6 or 7, they did. So I'll give them credit for making those shots.
How about this? But, they didn't have to make that much. Creighton scored 23 points in the second half.
Creighton was bad, no doubt about it.
That's why I would say they lost. They shot 27% in the second half. And I don't know, Bri, you thought it was a foul? I mean, they could not call that, right? But it was a foul.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, this is a very similar situation to that Super Bowl. Yeah, it is a foul. I agree with Harry is I was even complaining on a text yesterday with you on it, Sal, that like in the first half, I thought Creighton was really physical defensively and they were just not calling fouls. So like Harry said, there's only 22 fouls. So if the game is called like it normally is and they call a lot of fouls, then yes, that's a foul. If they're not going to call it most of the game, then I could see people complaining about it. The one thing on our text exchange, I don't know if our buddy Trevor was trolling us or not, but if you are a Chiefs fan and you benefited from the Chiefs and then all of a sudden that was a terrible call, you are not allowed to do that. That is not, not allowed. I mean, Sal told him to sit this one out, but I don't know if he was just, that might have been like a really good troll by
Right. It was pretty good. Either way, inadvertent or purposely done. I'm not sure.
Nebhard's even playing on one arm. He didn't take a shot since when he got injured. So how much of a foul, really?
Nebhard should have kept the other arm behind him, and then they would have been all right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, we were robbed of an overtime. But again, Creighton was terrible in the second half, like I said. And Coach McDermott, unlike Harry, took the high road. Said, no, we're not going to get into this officiating thing.
That was pretty good of McDermott. No doubt about it. I was actually surprised. Yeah. Surprise.
There you go. And then Harry brings up.
Come on.
What? He brings up, has to bring up the Eagles Chiefs. And then there was like a Mahomes reference. What was the Mahomes reference against the Bengals? I can't keep track of our text exchange.
Basically, Trammell who made the shot?
Yeah.
The free throw? Tate were sending a message yesterday. He said he definitely sold it on the, as when he got touched, when he went down. I said, yeah, just like Mahomes did. And the out-of-bounds call against Cincinnati in the playoffs. And then in the Super Bowl, when they called holding, The flag didn't come out of the ref's pocket immediately. As soon as he put his arms up in the air, Mahomes puts his arms up in the air and starts running towards the ref, the flag gets thrown.
Yeah, you are really, really deluded. I mean, that Bengal, I don't even know what to go after here. But real honestly, well, if you think that's not a penalty, that out of bounds hit against the Bengals.
It's a penalty. That was a penalty, no doubt about it.
Stop crying then. It's over.
Mahomes
it's a penalty.
Is putting up his arms like screaming, where's the flag?
On the Bengals play, I'm specifically focused on.
He sold it.
Harry, that was thrown immediately. He didn't sell anything. He whatever.
He rolled
that was
over
about.
Low and he okay. didn't have to. Honestly,
you don't deserve
more.
To co-host a podcast. You don't really even deserve to be a caller on the fan at 3 in the morning if you think that's not a foul. Honestly. Whatever.
Yeah, I said it was a foul. I'm just saying he sold it extra.
Okay. All right. Brian, what's your bet ache? Let's go. Harry could. I mean, I got crushed too. Well, I love as far as I had San Diego State to not make the Final Four and I have to pretend to enjoy this Creighton loss. It's crazy.
I can't wait to hear yourself because yours was definitely the worst. I mean,
what are the odds on that?
My worst one in terms of actually like just a real bet ache was the Texas Xavier under 149.5. Like that game, the first half looked like it was going way under. It was 81-60. With 35 seconds left, Texas ball, they could have just dribbled the clock out. Instead, the whole second half, even with the huge lead, Texas is just, you know, playing with a great pace and they're scoring like 10 seconds into the shot clock. So they end up laying the ball in with 10 seconds left to go over the one. It was at 149. It went to 151. And then there was another three hit right after that. So that was like the worst I felt like in that game. But I will say, in terms of overall for me, money wise, I lost a ton with the UConn women. Like
I jumped on with you. I jumped on with you, Brian. I know. I thought for sure.
I had them. I gave them out with the points, even minus 10. And they couldn't have been worse. I mean, it was like a $3,500 swing for me that game because I had them. I had them tied over the last remaining piece in games, and I pride myself in knowing a lot about women's sports, and that one just killed me. I mean, worst. Worst performance by a Geno team probably that I've seen in my life. But, you know, their best player was in foul trouble immediately. They just look like they can – a team like UConn look like they never played against a press in their life.
Terrible.
I mean, 18 turnovers in the first half. I mean,
I think they averaged 12 turnovers. And like you said, they had 18 in the first half.
It couldn't have been worse. So that one just killed me because then that threw off my whole, like, do I really know what the hell is going on here in any of these games? But it did cost me. I think it was like a $3,500 swing.
Good. I'm proud of you. I wish that number resonated with me. But all right, I'm going to top everybody here because, you know, I have an adjusted player prop parlay. Kansas State's Keontae Johnson to score 10 or more points. Now, I adjusted this with Noel over 6 assists. That was easy. Drew Timme under 25. Winner, and Johnson. Even though Timme came afterwards, I'm figuring this is going to be a win. Now, only once in 35 games did Keontae Johnson score under 10 points. And I think he had strep throat and COVID and salmonella poisoning all in the same week. But anyway, he goes out and scores a basket and immediately picks up two fouls and sits about 16 minutes of the first half. All right, whatever. I have to deal with that. They don't want him to get his third in the first half. So comes back in the second half, gets to nine points with 13 minutes left. So I figure I'm golden, right? He's got to figure it into the plays going forward if they're going to win this. He picks up four fouls, one ridiculous one where he's diving for the ball. So, but I'm still good because he has four free throws, needs to make one, does not make one of the four. He made zero and then fouls out with 2 minutes left. Gross, unfair. It still aches. I hate it. Mikey
Sal,
Meatballs.
He missed like two. That like rolled in and out around the basket too.
I know.
In that span, it wasn't even just those missed free throws. It was terrible. It was common.
They were the front ends of one and ones, I think too. Right.
Well, one he missed. He had two, and then he had two one and ones. That sucked. All right, Meatballs. Let's hear the music, and then I don't know what to do. Now I'm upset again.
When a bet makes you sick, and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad egg. It's a bad egg.
All right, let's take a quick break, give Caesar some love, and then talk some more NCAA. We got NBA talk, our play of the day, and Lamar Jackson news when we return. your very first bet with Caesars Sportsbook. It's on Caesars. Just sign up with promo code OMAHAFULL, OMAHAFULL. Then place your first bet. If you win, great. You keep your winnings. But if your first bet loses, you'll receive your stake back as a bonus bet.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Okay, so the Final Four odds are out. Is this right? San Diego State, Florida Atlantic? That's a play-in game, right? That's for an 11 seed? What is that? Freaking A. San Diego State -2, Florida Atlantic is the underdog. UConn on the other side, a robust 5.5 over Miami. I think it opened at 4.5 over Miami. And now UConn -125 to win the whole thing. San Diego State 4-1, Miami +450, Florida Atlantic +625. I was trying to look at how we did with our Final Four picks. Harry, why were you saying you had Miami? What do you have, Miami? You did your thing where you had Miami to make the Final Four on the pool, yeah. But not
he had Houston. Picks? He had Houston on his picks.
So right.
When, yeah, so. I changed to Houston. Okay. Right. But I did have Miami in the Final Four in our bracket. In the bracket. So right. I did have one in.
I don't know how much bragging you could do when you like changing these. But Bri had Florida Atlantic at +420 and Harry took UConn at +210. This is, I don't know, I guess Wednesday night or something we did this. We can't even pick the Final Four 2 days before, whatever. Those were our only winners. San Diego State knocked out Bama. More importantly, Harry's Creighton team. What do we want to say? UConn looks unstoppable. They beat up Arkansas and Gonzaga. And Parley Kid, what do you do if you're Drew Timmy? You have another year of eligibility, or you're predicted to go anywhere from 52nd in the draft to not getting drafted at all, or do you play overseas? What do you do?
Well, I don't think Timmy, by coming back, he's a guy that's really not going to get much better, right? Like, he is what he is,
right?
As a player, he's a great college player. His game probably doesn't really transfer to the pro game. I mean, he could maybe be a valuable reserve mm-hmm. on a team. He's a smart ball player. He might get, you know, some big man depth, but I don't see where it benefits him to come back. Mm. If he's looking to play at the next level, I don't think going to another year of college is going to help his status
right.
In a draft. Mm-hmm. However, I mean, if he wants to have some fun and try to win one, then maybe come back. But I think he's aging himself out of the college game anyway, though. It's probably time for him to move on. I think he even hinted that was probably it. And, you know, he's even maybe he'd love to stay with the Zags in some capacity, maybe. Eventually as a coach or something like that. I could see him doing that. So I think he gives the NBA a run.
Yeah.
See what happens. He'll, you know, he'll go to a camp. He'll play in the summer league. And then he'll go from there. But I think his college career is over. So I don't blame him. I mean, he's given everything he could to the program. What more can he give?
Right.
Right?
And, yeah.
The Zags can't seem to get over the hump no matter what.
Yeah,
team that can't get over the
three seed, and after they beat UCLA, and then they just got smoked. I mean, not even a chance. We had people over. We didn't even check in on that game. Down like 20 before you knew it. Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to go around 50th. Maybe like the Clippers, I see, could be interested in him. But Harry, yeah, I guess what you do is you enter the draft and then see where you are, and then don't make the team, and then go to Europe, right?
Yeah, TPK nailed Darren. You nailed it. What else can he do at Gonzaga? I mean, plus this is probably one of the not as talented Gonzaga teams as we've seen in the past like 10, 12 years probably. So maybe they don't. You know, he's done everything he's had that he could do at Gonzaga. He's got to move on.
All right, my Florida Atlantic upsets Tennessee and Kansas State. Probably, kid, I thought of you, the Wildcats coach, Tang, he went in the Owls locker room after the game. basically said how proud of them they were and they can win the whole thing. They're as good as anybody else. You approve of something like this as a coach yourself?
Not really. Yeah. I think you went a little over the top there.
Yeah.
I told you, I thought he was a great guy. He seems like, on top of being a very good coach,
yeah,
seems to be an excellent human being. But, you know, the cameras are rolling. It's a lot of it's for show. I think in the press conference, he could have simply said what he said.
Right.
And that could have been enough. I don't think he really needed to go in there. I'm sure on the handshake line, he could have reiterated all of his compliments to them
right.
when he was shaking their hands, wished the coach, hey, you could do this. I'm rooting for you. I'm pulling for you. Mm-hmm. I don't think he had to make such a spectacle out of the situation. I didn't love it. I didn't love it, Sal. I got to be honest. I know probably on social media, oh, look at this guy. I already knew he was a great guy. This doesn't really do anything for me. I think he was just, again, that made it a little bit more about himself at that moment, too.
Yeah, I think.
So, didn't love
and
it.
And also, if you're a Wildcat, you're one of the Kansas State players. You're like, hey, Coach Keontae Johnson in particular, I need some consoling. I had under 9.5 points today.
Absolutely. Okay, right.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the other players would be bummed. Miami, big comeback in the second half to beat Texas. They win that Midwest region 88-81. Jordan Miller really took over down the stretch, scored 27. And now Jim Larranaga, Jim, not Tim, Harry, only coach
yeah.
who's been to the Final Four. He did it with George Mason when they beat UConn in the Elite Eight years ago. So three teams making their first appearance in the Final Four, Miami, San Diego, FAU.
I'm out, Sal. That was Larranaga. That was 17 years ago to the day yesterday, the George Mason win against UConn. But Jordan Miller didn't miss a shot.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Didn't miss a shot. 7-for-7 and 13-for-13.
Was that the year we were insane. All there? Brian, were we? No, that might not have been that. Was that the year we were there where Harry was working at Sunset? Because I do remember.
No.
It wasn't? Because I was definitely driving back from Vegas, and it was one of those long Sunday drives, 7 hours, where it usually takes 4.5, and I definitely had UConn over George Mason. No, yeah, I would have stuck around for the games. That was before, right? I was listening
I
in the car.
Think I think so. I'm trying to think now what year that was. Was it that we were at?
Harry, when were you fired from there?
Yeah.
I wasn't fired from Sunset. I was fired from Red Rock.
Red Rock.
Red 2010, yeah. 2011.
17 years ago would have been 2006, right?
Yes. We got that math works
so,
out.
Yeah. Red Rock was open a year. Yeah.
Yeah, what?
That could have been it.
What was
it? Could have been it.
Oh, okay. Was Ryan saying Rock. It wasn't it? All right. All right. So anyway, he's the only coach. Yeah, because I drove back. I don't think that was that was terrible. Of course, I shorted George Mason the whole way. So, I'd like to move on to just everywhere I turn with hoops, I'm just getting slaughtered. I have the Mavs to make the playoffs. A couple weeks ago, it looked fine as we pivot to the NBA. They had the sixth seed. They beat the Lakers, which I also need because I have the Lakers to not make the playoffs. They beat them on a buzzer beater. And I was like, all right, I'm in good shape here. One's going one way, one's going the other. And since then, they've lost all their games. They suck. And they're 3-8 now with Kyrie and Luka in the lineup together. And Luka basically came out and says he doesn't want to play with Kyrie. Doesn't want to do it. Really, it's these Dallas teams, parlay kid. They continue to create heartache and bed aches for me. And so now they're in 11th place. They really might not make the play-in at this point. I know they have a big game against the Pacers. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Parlegate, why would any team take a chance on Kyrie? I mean, which team could he possibly make better at this point? Anybody?
It's hard for me to say. I guess if he didn't come with the distractions, I guess. And I don't know, just again, I don't really know what kind of human being he is. I know he says some controversial things, but you could still do that and be a good teammate.
It doesn't make sense. Like Hench pointed out on -3, if you look at his stats for his position, for field goal percentage and everything for that,
right.
Like 54, 57, and then
yeah,
it shouldn't make sense that he makes everyone worse. So it's got to be, and then for Luka to say this and everybody else. Like,
right, and that's the thing. I just think he's a little off personality-wise. I don't think, look, I've always been a very big chemistry guy, right? I just don't think Kyrie is good for chemistry for a team.
How many times
whether
do we need to see
on
it?
On the court,
yeah.
Off the court, he is just not a chemistry guy. That's it. Has nothing to do with his physical abilities. Mm. He's an unbelievable talent. But He brings, even if he's not making controversial statements at the time, it just seems like he brings an awkwardness to the locker room.
Yeah.
There's something different about the guy, and it just doesn't mesh with most teams and most other players. Just, I don't know. He's not a good fit right now, probably for anybody.
It's really bad. Like, Bri, I don't know. Like, you're a Knicks fan. Parley Kid's a Knicks fan. Is there any middling team? Is there any playoff team that would say, all right, we should add Kyrie to our offense. We're gonna get better. I don't see it. The Knicks definitely wouldn't, right?
No, the Knicks would not get better. That's
forget
for sure.
Money. Like, forget about it. Like, look, let's just say it works to add him into the lineup.
No. Nah. I mean, the one team that, you know, that was talked about for a while was the Lakers, which maybe would make the most sense just because he's played with LeBron before. But this is the problem when you have multiple guys who need the ball in their hands, though, right? It just never seems to work out. If Luka and Kyrie, they both need the ball, you really just need to space the floor and have shooters and defense and, you know, right. Adding a guy like Kyrie, your defense is automatically worse. Yeah, your team chemistry is worse. He needs the ball. So,
I mean, here's a team. And of course, I had, aside from having them to make the playoffs, I had them both nights against the Hornets. They played them twice this weekend.
Back to back. Terrible.
Really sucks.
He would have nothing. It's happened before. So fortunate when they were down 3-1 in Cleveland with him, when he had LeBron. Down 3-1 to Golden State, and they come back to win that, or else he'd have nothing. I've mentioned this before, Darren, I mentioned, well, you know, he reminds me a lot of Carmelo Anthony in terms of being just a cancer on the team, whether it's the time off, whether it's the having to have, like Brian said, always having to have the ball in your hands, or just taking bad shots, or just being a bad teammate in general. Just like a cancer, and it just happens again now in Dallas.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I mean, I don't like Mark Cuban. Do these GMs talk? It's like, I know now they have to unload him at this point, at some point, but who the hell is going to take this guy on? All right, Lakers, I mentioned them. I have them. Martin Weiss from Extra Points and Lemon Popper Parlay. We have the Lakers to not make the playoffs. We're going against Gunnels and Damashek, who have them to make the playoffs. They are one game under 500. They lost a bad one to the Bulls yesterday. One game under 500, seven left. The real logjam from 7 to 12. Six teams within two games, Brother Brian. I'm not touching it. I just got to sit and watch that. When does it end? April 9th? I think that's next Sunday.
You got 2 weeks left. 2 weeks left,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, yeah. A week from Sunday, however we want to say it. Yeah, but, I don't know.
It's interesting, right, though? I mean, it is crazy. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the play-in game, but it is pretty crazy because you have teams, you know, from four or five all the way down.
Whatever. It's more bets that I'm going to lose, but I'm trying to see here. Yeah, there's a ton. There's a ton still to be bet out there if you want. All right, so yeah, it's going to be real interesting. Five left. What did I say? Oh, seven left for the Lakers in less than 2 weeks. And I'm going to close my eyes and you guys tell me how it worked out. But I assume that the Mavericks are going to end up in like 18th or 19th place in the West. So I'll be surprised if it doesn't happen. All right, let's take another quick break. Then we're back with our play of the day. All right, Monday, play of the day. Let's give them out here. Lots of action in the NBA. Nikola Jokic, triple-double, Nuggets win. That's my pick. This is a battle. It's a big game. Big game against the Sixers. Embiid against Jokic. Really coming down to it. Caesars has Embiid at minus 225 for MVP. Jokic plus 175. It was Jokic for most of the year. It could easily, I think, flip tonight. And it's going to be a battle to the end, but I think it could flip tonight with 8 games left for Denver. In addition to trying to hold on to that one seed, their 3-game lead over Memphis, the MVP race is looming, and I'm betting Jokic's Nuggets to win the game and for the robust Serbian. Also, my number one pick in the League of Leagues draft, which I think is still going on. Crazy. To post a triple-double. So Nuggets win, Jokic triple-double. This will be his 29th triple-double the year. He's not had one in 8 days, which is an eternity for him. He does a little bit of a flex tonight. Plus 200 on that if you take Denver to win and Jokic triple-double, that combo. Parlay Kid, you have a combo in same game parlay involving your beloved Knicks.
Yeah, look, the Knicks have up and down. It's been a roller coaster as of late, losing a couple bad ones lately. Fortunately, they've gotten some help with some other teams losing as well. Yeah, so I'm gonna be picking this out. It's a plus 423 combination here, picking between RJ Barrett props and Julius Randle prop. I think it's got a pretty good payout. They are playing Houston, who struggles to play defense, one of the worst teams in basketball. The Knicks need the win tonight. I think these guys really step it up. Knicks score a ton of points. So I need Barrett over 20.5 points. He averages over 19.5 points a game. He's got to go a little bit above his average against this bad defense. He averages 5 rebounds a game. I need him over 4.5 rebounds in this game. Should get it. Barrett's always pretty consistent with his rebounding, grabbing 5 or so a game. And then I need Randle over 2.5 3-pointers. Randle usually does back up a bad game or two with a good one, especially coming back home to the Garden, where the last time he played in the Garden, he drained 8 threes. I think he rebounds, especially I think he owes it to his teammates. Got into a little verbal altercations when his teammates were trying to calm him down the other day. Mm-hmm. I think he steps up. So Randle over 2.5 threes, Barrett over 4.5 rebounds, and Barrett over 20.5 points, plus 423. Let's ride those Knicks tonight.
And they don't want to, you want that 5, right? Because they weren't, well, you want the 4, but then now they're too far behind the Cavs. What are they, like 5.5 back?
Yeah, they got, yeah. Look, they're right.
Yeah, they're not catching the Cavs.
They just want them to maintain their position
right
at this
point. So you want the 5, you don't want to drop to 6. The Nets are 6 at 13.5. Behind, well, they're 2 games ahead of the Nets, let's put it that way,
right,
for 6, and they're right. 2 games ahead of Miami also, who's on that 6-7 cusp, but the top right. 3 seem to be set. Bucks, Celtics could catch them, they're a game and a half behind, the Sixers 4 out, and then you got, like, this is almost definitely your first round matchup, Parley Kid. You want it at home, but it looks like the Knicks are going to be traveling to Cleveland, so they need this game to stay in that 4-5 area, not drop to the 6-7. All right, Harry, you also have something involving the Knicks here.
Yeah, I do have a 2-team mixed sports parlay. By the way, I did consider, we have Monday Night Football tonight. I did consider the DC Defenders in the XFL. I did consider it minus 2.5 over the Houston Roughnecks, but
I can't even tell you what Jack was watching. He insisted we dedicate one of the screens on YouTube TV, and for some reason on YouTube, actually, and it was not a good connection, but we had to stay with it. It was remarkable.
We probably exchanged, me and Jack over the weekend, probably exchanged like 35 text messages regarding Indoor Football League and XFL football. It was fantastic.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I bet under 37.5.
And I'm going to go ahead. Hockey and basketball. I'm going to take the Knicks, Darren's and Brian's Knicks to score over 121.5 points. We could go Randle went for 57. Darren mentioned the Rockets. So defense is awful. They give the second most points in the NBA behind the Spurs. Plenty of easy points for the Knicks tonight. It's over 121.5. And then an adjusted hockey line. I'm going to go at minus 214 over 6 between Buffalo and Montreal. Last game for Montreal, who's awful on defense. There's 10 goals scored in the game. They have given up the most goals the Habs have in the Atlantic Division. Meanwhile, Buffalo, second in the Atlantic Division in goals scored, behind, of course, the Bruins. So at minus 214, minus 110, two-leg parlay pays plus 181.
All right, there you go. Brother Bri, Pacers, Mavs. This game's interesting now because, Pacers have an outside chance. I think they're 2 games out of that 7-10, so 2.5 behind the 3.5. Okay, so yeah, they have to make their move now. They're home for the Mavs. I think this was 1, and then somehow, Luka got his technical rescinded, and he was supposed to sit because it was a 16th technical, but he got it rescinded, so he's playing now.
Right. So Pacers were originally plus 1, but I'm happy to take the plus 4 here, even though, you know, they rescinded the technical, which would have made him suspended tonight, even though he didn't he turn and curse at the official? So, like, how do you rescind that technical?
I don't know. It's very strange.
Just wanting them to be competitive for the playoffs, but I don't really get that. I don't care either way.
Right, like, they're going to be worse with him in the lineup. They're fixing it the wrong way.
Right, the two of them combined could be bad. I mean, they have lost 4 straight, 14-23 on the road. Dallas is the second worst team against the spread this season. The Pacers are 21-15 against the spread at home. But the Pacers pretty much need to win out even to maybe have a chance at 10. But
what's the Knicks situation with the Dallas pick this year in
top,
the draft?
Top 10 protected. So
it's top 10 protected.
Yeah, so the
right?
Knicks want them to be, yeah, like the 11 to 14 spot. That's ideal for the Knicks if they.
Well, they're going to get their wish. I think a rare case where Knicks fans are going to rejoice here because this team is just going downhill. Well, all right. So yeah, maybe I'm going to have to jump on that too. I can't win with this NBA. I have, you know, we had a winner. It was me, Hench, Simmons, Joe House bet the Portland to not make the playoffs. It's looking great like 4 weeks ago. And then we're like, hey, why don't we bet them to make the play in? They're going to get a 9 or a 10. Then they'll get, you know, they'll be out. Like, great, let's do that. Well, we middle stuff all the time. No, they have been. Nope. And if I could look ahead then and see that game 75 or whatever this is, the Pelicans are laying 11 in Portland. I mean, what the obviously Dame is out and probably shut down for the year. So we had, even when I have a winner, I can't hold on to it. Oh God. Yeah. Let's get the first pitch on Thursday. We're going to have Jen Piacenti joining us on Thursday's podcast, breaking down the MLB. We're going to get, what are we going to have? We're going to have AOL, AL, NL, MVP, winners of the American League and National League, Cy Young, AL, NL, Rookie of the Year, team totals, player props. You ready for this, Harry? You got to do stuff. I know you have to see Bruce Springsteen in Detroit. Very, very big concert coming up.
I will be in Detroit tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Ken offered Brian free all expense paid to come and join us
in Detroit, and you turned it down, Brian.
Wow. Yeah, I can't go to Detroit.
That's getting bad when people don't want to go to Detroit.
Casino we're going to. That's where we're staying.
Hey, see if you could bet if Lamar Jackson, where he's going to go. Because this is interesting now. He requested a trade March 2nd. He came out and said this over, he and his agent, the same person, came out 3 weeks ago, I guess, over 3 weeks ago. And now you have to think, I don't know, I was of the mind that, and Harbaugh's like, listen, we're moving forward. Lamar's going to be fine. He's going to be in camp and he's going to be a Raven. But I now think for the first time, I think he's not going to be a Raven. And let's just pick where we think he's going to end up. Harry, what do you think?
I'm going to say this team, he's not going to wind up there, but I don't understand. I just don't understand how they're not thinking he would be great.
Pick a team where you think he will wind up was the question.
I'll still say he should be in Atlanta.
Okay.
It makes sense to be in Atlanta. Just, I don't understand why the Falcons wouldn't want, haven't shown any that much interest in him. He'd be fantastic with that running game. They would be a force on offense.
Trying to think what capital they have to give up. There is a site, a competing site, I won't mention. I don't even know if it's a sports book, but they put up fictional odds of where he's going to end if he's traded. Colts plus 225, Patriots plus 450, Falcons, as Harry said, 600, Lions plus 650, Bucks 8-1, Jets 9-1, Panthers 10-1. I think it's a fun story if Rodgers goes crazy just one more time and this Jets deal falls apart. Although at this point, it doesn't feel like it's going to be his fault. But if that falls apart and then Jackson ends up on the Jets, that's pretty damn compelling. But I'm going to take a long shot also with the Panthers. This site listed at 10-1. Monster blockbuster deal the night before the draft. And he ends up with Carolina. Picks flying everywhere. Yeah,
that makes plenty of sense too. Atlanta or Carolina, because the division's up for grabs for anybody.
Well, I'm looking at these out of South teams on each conference. I think there's like six listed, like the Colts, the Falcons, the Bucks. Bucks Jeez. Spend money too. Panthers, right? Titans could get it. Bri, what do you think? Where does he go?
Well, I said earlier today, Washington to me would make the most sense because they're a competitive team, right?
Right.
They could fight for that, you know, for as good as the Eagles and the Cowboys are with Lamar in that division, they would be right there, I think, in terms of having a shot at winning, at least definitely making the playoffs, I think, there. So to me, but I mean, I see a lot of reasons he wouldn't, but I could find a reason for every team not to.
Sure.
Take him,
or
right?
To take it and not. Yeah.
And the weirdest thing was, Sal, what you were bringing up with the Panthers, and we've talked about this too on text, is that it is one of the wackiest things, right? Because the fact you have to give up two first-round picks.
Right.
You could be the Panthers and then trade all the way back, like late in the draft and get like three first rounders back, right? It's like, well, it's a very weird thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Or maybe you don't have to give up two. If you're the Panthers, maybe your number one overall is
I don't
is
know.
Good
does
enough,
that, does
you know?
That, is that, I'm not sure the rules with that, right?
That they couldn't do that?
Yeah. In terms of negotiating that, I don't know.
I have no idea.
With that franchise tag, it was like that they set a value, right? Of almost like two firsts with that, but I don't know.
Right,
if
I know
it
what
has,
you're saying.
I don't know if it has to be. I
so
don't
they
know.
Would have to make that trade and not, yeah.
I think
yeah.
so. I think so. It's weird. It's just weird.
Very strange. Lots of fun. All right, Parlay Kid, what's your pick?
Well, look, we talked about this probably a month ago, and I was, I kind of went on about why nobody was looking at him, and I did say at that time, Atlanta would be a good destination for him. Mm. I think, Harry, you can recall me saying that because I know you agreed with me at that time. And my stance still stays on Atlanta. Mm. But I think anybody in that South, obviously the Saints are out of that discussion now. I think he might have been a good fit. Mm. I even think the Bucks could be a really good fit for Lamar Jackson. I don't think, unless the Ravens tell his agent that he can go out and start looking for trades for him, I don't see this any way they would agree to a trade within the AFC.
There's no
so
agent.
So you could rule out you could rule out any AFC team. I think it would have to be to the NFC. Hmm. And I think it would really come down to probably Brian's Washington team that he suggested, or any of those other three teams, Tampa, Carolina, or Atlanta, would all make sense. I don't know why teams are not pursuing this. It's quarterback league. The guy is an MVP caliber player, still in the prime of his career.
Right.
Let's go. Let's figure something out, for crying out loud.
Well, I think, right, the bounty gets less and less, right, as the days move on. What do we have, like a month before the draft? And if this guy really says he doesn't want to play for the team and actually holds out and stuff like that, then the Ravens are going to ask for less, right? Lamar will take less guaranteed money. Like, everything becomes less, I think, as the month wears on. So that's interesting. But at this point, I don't think he's playing for Baltimore. I don't know. I really think they have to pull the trigger eventually on something like this. What else we got? WrestleMania this week. I'm going to be there with the children. It's going to be fun. Saturday and Sunday at SoFi. We have Austin Theory on our show Thursday. He is defending in the U.S. Heavyweight Championship against John Cena, WrestleMania legend. And he's a big favorite. We're going to talk about that. He's a heel. He's a heel Parlay Kid. He's going to come on here and badmouth John nice. Cena. We'll see what happens. And Bianca Belair will be joining me and Megan Connolly Morant on Laugh Lines this week in studio tomorrow. So that's going to be fun too. And we got our race to 10 tomorrow. Harry's sitting out. He's going to be taking a Greyhound bus to Detroit. But it's me, Parlay Kid, Brother Bri, racing to 10. Pelicans, Warriors. Bri, just do it. Who are we taking? Pelicans or Warriors? You weren't ready for this.
I wasn't ready for this at all.
Warriors are home, right?
Yeah, but that line's going to be big, right?
Pelicans just play tonight, right?
Coming off a disappointing loss.
Harry, you're on a butt. We can't let you ruin this.
Let's take the Pelicans. Let's take the plus money.
Pelicans, they play tonight, right?
Yeah,
tonight
right.
and tomorrow.
We'll take plus money because we'll get some decent money on that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Plus money Pelicans. That's the late game on TNT tomorrow. Join us. And I'll have a trivia question for somebody who could play along. Free $50. By the way, these free bets, as bad as Tate Frazier was, for God's sakes, the freaking guy gave us all losers except for Miami to win the region. I have to give him. I was like, I'm going to put $100 on all your picks for you, Tate. $1,500 for Tate Frazier. It's more than the bomb at the ringer. Yeah. So if you're like, he's figured it out. Yeah. He's figured out a way to go 1-9 and make money off of my money, but still.
Legend.
Nonetheless.
Legend.
Does it. God bless Tate
Frazier.
He made
money last year too, right? Didn't he have Kansas?
He had Kansas, right. Cause he was, it was a hedge against himself there. With Carolina. But anyway, there you go. Tate Frazier, good job by you. That's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. From Mikey Meatballs and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na